Welcome to Revive Health's Daily Briefing Live for Friday, June 5th. This is our 30-minute review of the latest, most important news, resources, and advice for health system marketers and communicators dealing with COVID-19. I'm Joanne Thornton, your guest host for today's show, and I'm joined by Chase Kleckner, Senior Marketing Manager at Revive Health and our show's stellar producer. Hi, Chase.
Hey.
Hi.
Good to have you.
Nice to see you. So today we're joined by Shannon Hooper, who is a healthcare innovation enthusiast and student of healthcare's ever-shifting business models. Shannon is Chief Growth Officer here at Revive Health and is responsible for the agency's overall corporate strategy and growth. She has worked in and around telehealth for 15 years and has expertise in the healthcare industry, which positions her as a key subject matter expert and strategist for clients' complex communications and brand challenges. Hey, Shannon.
Hey there. Glad to be here.
Thanks for being with us today. Just to start in a few sort of housekeeping items. So as with each show, we plan on covering the latest news on COVID-19 and how it relates specifically to marketing communications, highlight helpful resources, share what we're seeing and hearing from Marcom professionals across the industry, and of course, open the floor for questions. So as we move through the show, if you do have a question or a comment, please use the question queue in Zoom to line them up, and we will get to them, get to as many of them as we can. If you also want to chat with other attendees, just feel free to use the chat function in Zoom. But if you'd like us to answer a question, please use the question queue only so that we know that those are the ones that we should address. We've also provided any relevant links in the chat if they come up, so you can access those immediately. Just a reminder that you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. You just have to search for Revive Health Daily Briefing Live. We will post a recording of this episode by the end of today, and you can also visit our website, which is www.thinkrevivehealth/COVID-19, for that, as well as other content that we've developed related to the crisis. So a couple of really important notes. So we're not experts in COVID-19, so this is not a place for medical or scientific advice. Or resources, but we certainly have opinions on how marketers and communicators might want to manage the COVID-19 crisis. And you know, everybody's situation is unique. The market you're in is unique. So in the end, you have to make the decisions, obviously, that are best for you. So let's begin. We always start with the latest count. Super important to keep our finger on the pulse of how the crisis is growing in the U.S., and eventually how it will be receding. So that context will always impact what you're doing and how. So we use the Johns Hopkins dashboard for this data. And as of today, the global case count is 6,682,531. And the global death count is 392,321. Here in the U.S., we have seen the case count go from 1,876,922. I suspect that we're obviously going to continue to see that case count rise, particularly as testing becomes more widespread. And death count has now surpassed the 100,000 mark to be 108,334. Also want to just shout out a reminder to visit the Communications Hub on our website for some intel. We do post bi-weekly roundup of what we're hearing, as well as advice around some of the key issues that we are talking with clients about and others in the healthcare industry about. And I do actually want to highlight one thing, and Shannon, get your perspective on it before we sort of jump into the subject of the day. There was a recent McKinsey report that cited that $250 billion in healthcare could be digitized. Shannon, does this number surprise you?
The number itself doesn't. I think that we've been talking for, probably over a decade now about how much in healthcare can actually be delivered virtually and through other kind of digital modalities. I think what's kind of crazy about that is many ways seeing numbers like that, it's almost been like white noise for me over the past, you know, handful of years, because it's like, yes, of course it can. But it's interesting now because there have been so many shifts from a consumer expectation perspective, a regulatory perspective. Now I actually see that number and say, okay, there's going to be actually some migration of care from that in-person setting into those digital settings. And I've never really felt that way before. And I know we'll get into that a lot more throughout this conversation.
Right. And in fact, the focus of this conversation is around telehealth, which, you know, we have seen just explode during the COVID crisis. And in fact, I think one large Minnesota system was quoted in a news story of saying they went from 0 to 70,000 telehealth visits total in 1 month. There was a major academic medical center that said they went from less than 50 a week across the system to more than 25,000 a week. And I think, you know, all of the systems seem to be making virtual visits a focal point of their reopening to whatever degree that they can. I think a great example of that is Cleveland Clinic's Express Care, which is their virtual visit offering, uses a proprietary app. And if, you know, for those who are listening in, if you have a chance, download and register and explore. It really takes like 5 minutes. If you want to have a virtual visit with a doctor, it shows you all the doctors who are available, those who are open now, those who are waiting. And it's pretty amazing, really, like having a doctor on demand. And I also wanted to call out VCU Health is launching this week a creative campaign touting their virtual visits. And, you know, with many systems we've talked to, they're looking really beyond today and having these things become a major marketing focus going forward. So Shannon, we've got you here with us today to talk about telehealth and specifically, you know, to comment on some of these shifts that we've already mentioned. So shifts from a regulatory perspective and the easing of regulations around those from a payer perspective as it relates to relationships with health systems, as well as the shifts that we're seeing in consumer behavior. And it's, you know, really a salient topic since the implication for marketers is really important in this changing landscape. So I guess like I would really want to start our conversation. I have a lot of questions, but the first one I would ask you is, you know, we hear we talk about it as telehealth, we talk about it as virtual visits, and there's like a bunch of different vernacular around it. Like what really are we talking?
Yeah, it's a really fair question, especially when you're trying to track this. So right now in the industry dialogue, I would say largely telehealth, telemedicine, virtual care, they're all used pretty interchangeably. I mean, it's pretty interesting. In fact, if you even look at the websites of some of the big vendors in this space, they will use all three of those terms to actually describe what they do, you know, probably largely from an SEO perspective. Where it gets a little more confusing is how different organizations define it. So like, for example, the WHO, they actually define them differently. So they say that telemedicine is essentially services administered by physicians only. And then telehealth is a little broader. So it's services administered by a variety of different care providers. Doesn't have to be physicians. But then to create even more messiness, if you're talking about a United States federal government perspective, they talk about telehealth as just a really broad swath of remote healthcare services, not even necessarily fully clinical. And then they say telemedicine is specific to that remote delivery of clinical care. So it's kind of all over the place. I think at this point, it's become such a prevalent conversation. It's kind of okay to use any of those words.
Okay. So for the purposes of this conversation, we're going to talk about it as telehealth.
And deal.
If you want to use different words, that's totally fine. So let's kind of set the foundation a little bit, sort of like, what are we seeing in terms of utilization, sort of what's sticking and what's not?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think when you look at telehealth, it's been around a long time, right? I mean, it's been around in some ways since the 90s, but really got some technological traction in the early thousands. And I think that there have been two really big barriers to it historically. And so maybe we can hit on those. And I think that'll help understand some of the changes in adoption. So one of those barriers actually was consumer awareness. There was a pretty interesting study done recently by Credit Suisse, where they did a survey of employers and found that kind of by and large, employers, I think it was like 84% of them offer some form of telehealth, telemedicine service. And then when they did a similar survey of consumers kind of who are employed by a similar kind of type of employers, only 27% of them said that their employer offered telemedicine. So like just a huge gap from a consumer awareness perspective. And I think that COVID in many ways has been this forcing function to overcome that barrier, right? So for a lot of people, it's been the only way to see a doctor. We can maybe get into some of the like nitty-gritty data on adoption and some of the demographics a little bit later in the conversation. But by and large, you're just seeing a lot of that awareness skyrocket, which I think is really removing a lot of barriers. And then the other barrier that I would mention quickly is obviously the regulatory and the policy space. So specifically, the big issue has been how much providers can be paid for telehealth versus in-person visits. And so that's been a huge issue, and that's really limited pretty widespread use. But there have been a lot of temporary lifting of those barriers, and you kind of have to look at it. There's really, I guess, three categories. There's the federal things that have been lifted, the state by state things that have been lifted. And then we can kind of like go down the rabbit hole of the individual payer ones in a minute. But like at the federal level, when you look at HHS, they've waived a ton of restrictions on Medicare coverage of telehealth services. So lifting the requirement that you have to be in a rural area to receive it, allowing it to be delivered via smartphone, waiving certain HIPAA requirements, you know, allowing FaceTime or Skype for it, which they never had before. I think probably the biggest thing that they've lifted at the federal level has actually been the requirement that providers are licensed in the state where they're delivering those telemedicine services. And then the other thing that's pretty notable is they've waived cost sharing, like, you know, the requirement of co-pays and those things. But then it gets really messy at the state level, because then even if the federal government is kind of waiving a lot of those big things, it has to then also be done at the state level. So there's a lot of variability here, but a lot of states have followed by, you know, loosening their privacy laws to match that national guidance. They have also waived the out-of-state licensing requirements, a lot of expansion of telehealth and Medicaid programs, also enacting service and payment parity requirements. So basically saying that private health plans, they have to cover telehealth services as long as they would have normally covered that service in person and at the same rate. So that's a lot. I'll pause there. There's a lot.
That is a lot. And it actually, it begs the question. I mean, there's a couple of things. First, like the issue of, you know, what's happening with health plans and providers as it relates to reduced and waived cost sharing, and all of that. And I think, you know, a big question is, so is this change permanent?
Right.
So are we going to go back to what it was before? And I'm sure you probably have a point of view on that. But, you know, I think it also from a marketer's perspective, sort of what are the implications for systems and hospitals where, you know, telehealth has sort of been something that's been on the radar, but not a lot of time or resources really put into making it happen. I know we've heard from, you know, so many folks that say, like, I mean, pre-COVID, caveat this by saying pre-COVID, like, you know, telehealth for them, telemedicine, it's dead. It's not going to go anywhere. It hasn't gone anywhere despite, you know, all of their efforts. Like, how do we see that changing?
Yeah. So, I mean, the short and honest answer is we don't fully know what will stick and what won't stick. But by and large, the sense is that a lot of the flexibility that has just kind of temporarily been put in place a lot of it will probably continue. So I would say if I had to, if I were a betting gal, I would expect that states will more permanently waive a lot of those in-state licensure requirements. I would say things that probably will not stick are the use of non-HIPAA compliant technologies. And just as a like quick side note to that, that creates all sorts of kind of different challenges for providers right now, because a lot of them, just because they had to very quickly stand up something, they're using those kinds of technologies. And I think those are going to go out. So then the provider is going to have to decide, okay, do I want to actually invest in one of these broader HIPAA compliant platforms? Do I want to get on the platform that, you know, some of my plans, my health plans are using, which I think also provides a lot of challenges. The area that I think is probably most TBD on whether it'll stick or be widespread is in that service and payment parity. And that really comes down to a lot of the individual insurer decisions that are being made, which are also going to present a lot of challenges for marketers, because you know, there's a lot of different models on how health plans are thinking about telehealth reimbursement. And it really varies by geography, it varies by individual plan, and a lot of other things.
Right. And so how will consumer perception and demand impact this, right? So like regulation aside, and you know, whether those things will stick with the changes that we're seeing in terms of how payers are treating it, it feels like so much of that is going to be dependent upon whether this is going to stick with consumers and how much of a demand there's going to be, you know, sort of once we get through where we're at right now.
Yeah. So I'll give you a crazy stat that I saw recently, which is that even as hospitals are reopening, so in-person visits are picking back up, right? We're pulling in those patients. The claims data is showing that telehealth visits are staying constant. So when I saw that, and it was from analysis of basically national claims in May, I believe it was, I was fairly shocked. But then I thought about it, and you know, we've done a lot of research at Revive on consumer perception, and we're seeing that consumers are still really afraid to go back into that hospital setting. They've gotten comfortable by and large with telehealth. And so I think that that demand is going to continue. You referenced the McKinsey research that came out, and there's a great piece on that, which we'll share in some of the resources, but they make the case, which I totally buy, that the favorable dynamics for telehealth, they're going to persist not just through the short-term kind of true crisis period, but probably for the next 12 to 18 months until a vaccine is widely available. And then when you think about that time period, gosh, you know, a year and a half, 2 years, you know, as much as that of folks using this service, that's going to really normalize it in consumers' minds and in society. And I think it is going to be an expectation of consumers.
Yeah. I, for what it's worth, I think so too. As it relates to consumers and the demand for it, I think, you know, one of the things that we have seen in a lot of our rapid recovery work is it is like risen, telemedicine has risen to the top of absolutes as these organizations think about both recovery from what has happened with COVID, but also in terms of, you know, sort of getting back to growth. Yeah. And telemedicine has really become such a big focus. And I think that's a trend that is just going to explode.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. So I also saw some data that if you look at telehealth claims between March 2019 and March 2020, those claim lines increased by 4,347% nationally. Wow. Which, like, you hear that and it's kind of an astounding number. I think maybe going a little bit back to your question that you asked about, you know, really what does this mean also for hospital marketers, like how they actually think about this in the context of their patients. Where I see a lot of potential challenge and risk, it's really in, I guess, two areas. So one of them is, I mentioned the differences between all of the payers and all of their models, right? Mm-hmm. So there's kind of this spectrum when you look at the health plans of how they're thinking about telehealth. So you have on the one end of the spectrum, you know, there are those who are basically saying, we'll only cover these costs or waive co-pays or whatever it is if you're using our platform, be that Teladoc Health or Amwell mm-hmm. or whatever it is. That's the case like with Florida Blue, for example, and a lot of others. Then you kind of have some folks that are a little bit along the other end of the spectrum. Like Aetna has said that they're waiving all cost sharing for all telemedicine visits with their in-network providers through the end of September. That's for commercial plans. Mm-hmm. But it's really interesting because if you go to the Aetna website, they say, we encourage our members to seek care virtually from their own doctors first versus using their platform, which is Teladoc Health, to maintain care continuity. Now, I think that's probably an outlier, right? I would be very surprised if all of the health plans say that, because obviously they want to control that top of the funnel too with the individual members. And then I think the other thing that's going to be really confusing that marketers are going to have to grapple with is if you think about a patient, they are going to be looking at all of these different options for how, like if they say, I want to receive my care virtually right now, I don't want to be back in person, then okay, so can they get that from their regular provider? What if it's after hours? What if they need a different specialist? They're getting a barrage of kind of marketing mail from their health plan to use their health plan's virtual care platform, and it's pretty sophisticated marketing. So I think we have to go into it as hospital marketers and make sure that we're getting ahead of that. You know, I mean, it needs to be us, and I think that we have a leg up on it because by and large, people want to maintain their relationship with their doctor, and we have to kind of capitalize on that quickly.
Yeah, the comment about the barrage of marketing, you know, I think at the start of all of this, the number of marketing pieces that I received both from the health plan that we have, as well as from our health benefits department was like, I feel like it was every day. And it was all focused on telehealth and virtual visits. And it truly has exploded.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I think it's across the board. We're kind of experiencing that everywhere. And you just have to think about it. Gosh, if you're experiencing that and you're a hospital marketer, your patients are experiencing that too.
Right.
And they're probably going to go where it feels easiest for them to go, unless we can get ahead of it with the proper messaging and branding.
Right. So there was one question that I wanted to mention. Someone had asked if we could share the source of the stat that virtual care is staying constant even as in-person visits are on the rise.
Yep. Yeah, that was from a report that came out from Credit Suisse, but we can make sure that we kind of include and get that actual data point.
Okay, great. Well, it looks like we are closing in on our time. Shannon, is there anything else that you want to share with our friends?
I think the main thing is just recognizing that as complicated and messy and complex as this is, telehealth is here to stay. And it really puts the onus on marketing leaders to partner up with their operational counterparts, you know, really understand the overall organizational strategy for telehealth, and then making that a core pillar of how you're thinking about your brand, your marketing, your service line marketing specifically moving forward. That in many ways is probably going to kind of make or break this in terms of kind of pulling patients into the provider setting that way versus them going into the health plan setting that way.
Right, right. Well, thank you for joining us today. I think this is probably a topic that we are going to continue to talk about. I know, you know, for us, as I mentioned, you know, we continue to see it pop up and really needing the level of attention that you're emphasizing. So appreciate it very much. Okay, so that's it for today's show. Thanks, Shannon, again. Please let us know if there's something that you would like for us to cover by posting it in the Zoom chat tool. And Chase, thank you as always.
Absolutely.
So I believe on Monday, we will have Ryan Cogliani back joining us as the guest host alongside Elizabeth Musson, who has been with us before as well, talking about the latest on M&A activity and the latest key considerations for health systems as they evaluate potential partnerships. I know there's been a lot of big things in the news actually of partnerships that are falling apart. Which I'm sure that is something that they're going to be talking about as well and share some perspective. So remember to visit www.thinkrevivehealth.com/COVID-19 for a recording of today's episode and all of the content related to this crisis. Subscribe on iTunes and please let others know about this podcast. And to all of you out there who attended today, thanks for being here. Keep up the amazing work. The skills that you bring as marketers and communicators is absolutely critical as we all move through this crisis. So we'll be back next week. We'll talk to you then.